Hi, this is Evelyn. Welcome, and thank you so much for joining me here tonight for your webinar on relationships, power versus love. An interesting topic, isn't it? How can we create an ideal relationship? So well done for being here. I'm glad that you made your way here. I'm really excited to be sharing with you some of the amazing insights of not just the six core needs, of the six core human needs, and how they impact our relationships. But you'll also gain a clear understanding of how to create balance in your personal life and in your relationship and at work, of course, also. So well done. So the first thing I want to show you here is I'm just going to put up my chat away also the out of there so I can see you. Okay. So this is this webinar is about how we can create and maintain an ideal relationship. Clearly, it's about communication. So I want you to start pondering for a moment a few questions I have for you before we start. And you're welcome to answer them or just leave them and we can get to them again later on during the session. So I want you to think about how does your relationship affect what's happening in your life right now? Think about that. I think you'll agree that when I say the quality of our relationship, I believe, dictates our health and our wealth and our overall well-being. Have you ever thought about how you can make sure you're aligned with your partner and stay true to yourself at the same time? Not always an easy thing to do. So how do you share and care for others and take care of you at the same time? Remain true to you and your own needs without getting lost in the other person. How do you keep the passion for each other alive and communicate your needs effectively? How do you get what you want when you want it? There are five important keys that I want to discuss with you here. So these keys are, I'm just going to minimize my window here and pull that down the bottom so I can see the screen. Okay. So the five keys are really important, and it's what you want to be thinking about whenever you are in a relationship. We have what you might have heard of before is called the law of attraction. And this is very much about focusing on what you want. What you focus on, as a life coach, I always say to my clients, what you focus on is what you get. So if you're focusing on all the negative things in your life, you will attract more negative things. So the law of attraction, what you want to do there, want to utilize that and focus on what you want rather than what you don't want. Keep the attraction in the relationship by becoming who you need to be in your life. Make sure that you're aware of your love languages. And I'm not sure if you've ever heard or read the book from Gary Chapman called The Five Love Languages. I've got some reference to it later on. I'd like you to think about that and watch some short videos with your partner and understand the different love languages that we all use. So you want to align yourself with your ideal partner. That partner is going to allow you to grow and develop, and you're going to do it together rather than let yourself die inside. So communicating clearly is really, really important. You must have good communication and passion with and about yourself first in order to have good communication and passion with your partner. If you don't like you, if you're focusing on that, how are they ever going to like you? When you're both focusing on what you want, you are actually valuing yourself. So, this relationship series is about masculine and feminine energy, not gender, not man and woman. It's about masculine and feminine energy. It's about the archetypal role we play in relationships. So it's about how we can create and maintain a fulfilling and loving relationship. So sorry. So it's about being in a relationship. And if you're in a relationship, if you want it to be an ideal relationship, what you want to be is best friends. Best friends are important to be when you're in a relationship. So when you're best friends, you want to be best friends with your partner or with your husband or with your wife. We also want to parent something together. Should be parenting something outside of self. That can be parenting not just of children. It could be parenting of a business. It can be gardening. It can be parenting, you know, a pet, an animal. And you also want to be doing something that you're nurturing together. Something so the parenting is when you're doing something together and you come together for that person or that, you know, that pet or that business, if you are in business together. Another most important part of being in an ideal relationship is your lovers. You definitely want to still be lovers, still kissing, still intimate, and having awesome, awesome sex. When one of these areas are neglected, then there's discord, frustration, and unhappiness. It is inevitable. So I want you to imagine for a moment, you're enjoying some well-earned time out in your favorite place on the planet. It's time for you to sit down as a couple and enjoy an exquisite meal in some erotic surroundings, the candles flicker on the table set for two, and you think to yourself, there is no one else on earth I'd rather be with right now, just the two of us. And you take pleasure and enjoy the intimate conversations over a glass of wine or two. And for just a moment, you're trapped in time. It's exhilarating. I want you to go there now. Visualize it. Really go there in your imagination. Now, I've got a really simple question for you. What happens when it's time to pay the bill? Who pays? Hold that thought before you answer. Let me introduce you to the Tony Robbins six core needs. Everyone is motivated to satisfy their six core needs. It's how we satisfy these needs that will determine our experience of happiness. These needs also describe why we do what we do and why we don't do what we know we should do. So the key is to embrace the opposite core need and create balance. Each person in a relationship has their own rules. Some are resourceful and some are unresourceful. So these core needs are not just desires or wants, but they're profound needs that serve as a basis of every choice we make. And right now, you might be wondering, well, what does that mean? Well, according to Anthony Robbins, we're all driven by the need to fulfill these six basic core needs: certainty and variety. That's level one. That's our survival. Level two is love and connection or significance. And level three is our growth and contribution. That's true fulfillment. So we live our lives based on these needs. most of us prioritize one or maybe two above all others. How we actually satisfy these needs will determine our experience of happiness. The first four needs, level one and level two, are our physical needs. Here we find ways to meet our needs, even if it's through violence, through playing ourselves as a victim, or boxing ourselves in some kind of mental illness. Our physical needs can provoke tension with each other in your relationships. Awareness is 95% of the journey. So the more certainty we have, the less uncertainty we have in our life, and vice versa. The more significance we have, the less connection we have, and vice versa. So a generalization in these needs is masculine people tend to need more significance, variety, and growth, while feminine people tend to need more certainty, connection, and contribution. So who are you showing up as? Or not? Are you not showing up at all? Your goal here is to discover which other needs you would say need your immediate attention. If you're associating these needs unresourcefully, then you'll be unhappy. By associating with these needs, it means if you saturate your thoughts with any of these needs in an unbalanced way, then you will certainly become unhappy very quickly. I'll cover more on this during our next coaching sessions and at the wellness retreat. But for now, the antidote to this is to embrace or at least satisfy the need which is paradox or opposite to it. So if you're living in a world with total certainty, let some of that certainty go and just jump into a little bit of variety or uncertainty. We need a balance. So I want you to listen here because this is a great opportunity for you to see how they, in fact, do work closely together and how this is affecting your life. So let's start with certainty. You'll experience that in controlling other people, watching too much TV for hours at a time, instead of having and living your life, overeating, routine, and procrastination. They're all unresourceful. So what's resourceful? Resourceful is when you back yourself. You back yourself in order to get the results that you want and a certainty of self. So be self-aware and allow yourself to become who you need to become in order to handle problems, routines, in a resourceful and nurturing way. Nurture yourself and give support to others. This provides a foundation in life. So the variety, in variety is drug taking, intoxication, changing again the TV channels, self-sabotage, creating drama and problems and for ourselves so that we have something to do. So resourceful in variety, this can be seen in couples who enjoy experiencing new things together and have lots of memories to share. They're playful, they embrace adventure, and changing the meaning of an event. So, you know, events of the past keep us stuck. But you can change the meaning of events. It's what we call reframing. And we'll talk about that again later on. But you can have different hobbies, new challenges, and, of course, creativity. So the next need is significance. And significance is, are you a giver of significance or are you a taker? We all must be the significant other to someone else. It gives us a sense of purpose and value with ourselves. An unresourceful significance is putting others down, promiscuity, gossip, sad stories about self, being a martyr, being a victim, and lying in a way that gets us caught, rebellion. We all know that person whenever you've had someone in your life that, you know, that you feel like you're walking on eggshells whenever they enter the room because they're about to explode. You know, we all have to tippy-toe around them. That's an unresourceful way of getting significance. So a resourceful significance is being a leader of self and others. You can do that by doing volunteer work, speaking up, achieving a goal, mastery in your field or endeavor. Because outstanding relationships are made from those who are givers of significance. So be a giver of significance and enjoy a beautiful relationship and connection with others. Then we move on to love and connection. In the absence of love, we settle for connection. Our partner is our love, and we need to feel absolute trust in them. By loving another passionately and unconditionally, we ultimately love ourselves. Unresourceful love is being needy. No one likes someone who is needy. So don't be needy, creating self-harm, unhealthy relationships, connection through problems, for example, drugs, or if you don't love me, I'll hurt myself. Totally unresourceful, of course. Resourceful love then is sharing and supporting and connecting through nature, self-worth, God, if that's your thing. But whatever it is, it's your truth. The next level of needs is our growth and contribution. So our growth is we are either growing or we're dying. You want to be learning new things together, do things together, some new things together. Contribution is the law of reciprocity. It's absolute. So I give to you and you give to me. You reciprocate. Giving to others to find ultimate fulfillment. I'll talk more about those core needs, those last core needs, in a later session and at the retreat. But in the meantime, I want you to take some time to determine where you think you are in regard to the first four core needs. On a scale of 0 to 10, how much certainty do you think you have in your life? If you haven't got a pen and paper, maybe grab one now and just write these things down. So write down certainty. So 0 being you've got none, and 10 being you've got all the certainty in the world. How would you rate certainty in your life? Let's say your certainty and love and connection is below 6. Think about that. How much certainty do you have in your life? On a scale of 0 to 10, how much variety? How much significance do you feel that you have in your life? Love and connection, what level are you at? Growth, well, you're here. And because you're here, you're growing, which is wonderful. And contribution to others. If you're here with your partner, you're contributing to each other, which is wonderful. So write down some numbers: certainty, variety, significance, love and connection, and growth and contribution. So we'll give you an example. Let's say your certainty and love and connection are below 6. The result of that is your relationship is in trouble. And you need to focus and improve the balance on the opposites. So the opposite to certainty is variety. And the opposite to love and connection is significance. Be a giver of significance. So rank your 6 core needs. Write them down. Don't overthink it. Trust what comes to you. Just trust it. Then we look at your values. Now, this is really important for you to do also. I'm going to give you a list of values. I'm going to share with you now here on the screen. Just give me a moment. I'm going to share a list here of values. So on the screen now, we have a whole bunch of values. What I want you to do here, I want you to pick out 5 to 10. Look at the screen and write some words down. And I'm going to move down the screen slowly. And you're going to, whatever jumps out at you, write them down. Take a minute to get a pen and paper and write them down. This will serve you a lot if you do this exercise. You're looking at 5 to 10 values. What's important to you in your life? How do you want people to see you? Who do you believe you are? Write some of these words down, whatever jumps out at you. There's no right or wrong. It just is what it is. We're almost at the bottom. I'll keep going until the bottom, and then I'm going to continue on with the webinar. So just keep writing them down, and we can talk about them later on. Write them down, whatever jumps out at you. Almost at the end. I hope you've got some things written down. Okay. Moving back now into my PowerPoint presentation. So I hope that by now you have done some of those that writing of that down. We can have a chat about it a little later on. All right. So what's important to you? And I also want you to realize that, you know, we need to appreciate the similarities that we have in our values. And respect the differences. You know, we're all different. We all have different. So, you know, if you're a couple and you have been for a while, there'll be a lot of values that are the same, but there will be differences. You just be aware of that. So, do you remember this? 50 Shades of Grey. So, 50 Shades of Grey. If you've read the books, or maybe you've watched the movies, or both. If you haven't, I recommend you do. Maybe start with the movies, or if you're into reading, perhaps about the books. They were released around about 2000, about 10 years ago, almost a decade. But if you have watched them or read the books, what was your experience, truthfully? How did you experience that phenomenon? Because it was a phenomenon. Did it change your perception of how things could be? It's been said that 50 Shades of Grey captured erotica and catapulted it into the mainstream. It merged the best of wealth and power and control and sex, creating a sexual awareness that changed the perceptions of everyday people. Did it ignite desires that you never before imagined possible? Did you experiment? Did it spike a curiosity of how it could be and should be for you, particularly in your sex life? The creators of this phenomena cleverly used the sex and the thrill of romance and turned it into a thrilling sexual tale. How would you like to be experiencing a heightened sense of intimacy? Remember my earlier question, who will pay the bill? Let's get a little bit closer to answering that question. Before we do that, I want you to look at some stats from the Australian Bureau of Statistics. So in 2021, there were 89,000 plus couples married, which is well below what it was in the pandemic. Also in 2021, there were 56 plus thousand divorces. The median age at marriage for men in 2021 is 32.1. It's increased since 2001. The median age in marriage for females is 30.5. And again, the age has increased. So same-sex marriages in 2021, they were 2,842 registered, which is included in our earlier figure. And that's a decrease from the previous year. If you look at this, if you look at the 2021, there's more female same-sex couples married these days than what they were earlier. And there is less men. So same-sex marriages 2018 to 21, we have, you can see there that the men is dropped from 2,757 and 18 to 21, 1,072. Female same-sex marriages, 3,781 in 2018, and 2021, we've got 1,771. It has dropped quite a bit since it was first introduced. The median, age for men in 2021 was 36.7. Down from earlier. And the female median age in 2021 was 33.8. Excuse me. In 2021, the duration of a marriage was 12.2 years, based on the facts, on the stats of divorce. So a little under a half of the divorces granted were couples with children under 18 years of age. The median age for divorce was 45.9 for males and 43 for females. Here are some stats on the overall divorces granted, 56 plus thousand. The median age, the duration of the marriage, from marriage to divorce, on average is 12 years. divorces with children. There's almost two children per couple in the divorce. The median age of the male at divorce is 45.9, just under 50. The median age for a female at divorce is 43. In the past weeks, we've discussed the National Health Study and Wellbeing. And there are 19.6 million Australians aged between 16 and 85. There are 4.4 million people, so 22.3%, who have experienced what they call a mental disorder at some time in their life. The Forbes report said that in the workplace, people are looking for more meaning and purpose. They believe it's more important than ever. And the Gartner report, they're saying that people are saying they need to rethink their work life and home life. What's number one of importance is their income. 25% of people rated income number one. And number two, at a close second, is their well-being, their overall well-being. People are changing the way that they think about life based on these stats. So what's cooking internally for you? What are you telling yourself? Would you like to change what's going on in your life? Would you like to see a difference? So if you weren't telling yourself the same old story that you've been telling yourself for a long time, how could you flip that? What could you be telling yourself instead? Whatever that might be for you, I don't want to interfere with what your thoughts are, but think about it. We can have a chat later on toward the end of the session if you like. What are you telling yourself now? And what could you be telling yourself about how you're going to continue in a relationship into the future? What do you see? What do you hear? What do you feel? What about the smell and the taste of each other? Look at your filters in your mind. Our mind is like a computer. We have stored in our mind beliefs and values, memories, past experiences. And we internalize things, images, sounds, feelings, and smells, tastes, and self-talk. So if you have some negative influences in your life or negative thinking in your life, what could you be telling yourself instead? This is an interesting one. I want you to think about what we call in coaching. This is what we call cause and effect. And we have a line, okay? We have a line that we live above the line, we live below the line. Living above the line, you're taking on responsibility for self. Nobody else, just you're taking responsibility on for yourself. Nobody else is there to do it for you. It's your responsibility. Your life is your responsibility. And it's within your power to control or influence your life above the line. If you're living below the line, you're blaming somebody else. You've given your power away to somebody else. So, what does that mean? That means that whenever you are above the line, you take full responsibility for self. When you're below the line, you shift responsibility. Oh, it's his fault. It's her fault. You know, if it wasn't for him, it wasn't for her, it wasn't for my children, it wasn't for my parents, whatever. We shift the responsibility of what's going on in our life to other people. When you're above the line, you're focusing on solutions. When you're below the line, you're focusing on blaming, accusing, denying, justifying, and excusing. It's not my fault. I didn't do that. That's so-and-so did that to me. Okay. Do you live above the line or below the line? If you're below the line, and most of us are at some point, many times in our life, you want to shift that. You want to shift to being above the line because you want to take your power back. You're in control. You're the influence in your life. Don't give your power away to anybody else. When you're above the line, you're future focused. When you're below the line, you're living in the past. The past is the past. Where you are today, being here today, means you're ready to create change, to move forward into the future. You're future focused, taking responsibility for self and giving significance to others in your life. When you're above the line, you're self-determining. You determine what's going to happen in your life. If not, you're a victim. And you fall into that drama triangle, living a victim's life. Not where you want to be. There are a couple of books there that I recommend that you read. One is called The Five Love Languages, as I said before, from Gary Chapman. And there's also a video that you can watch. Now, I've put into the chat box some links to these videos, and you can look at those videos later on. There's also a book called Influence, The Psychology of Persuasion, and it's by Robert Cialdini. An amazing book. It talks about the laws of life and how we can use our own language, and our body language, and the laws of life to influence people. Because if you're living in the place of a victim, it's not easy to get out of that place. If you're a victim, that means there's a persecutor. And if there's a persecutor, that means there's a rescuer. And when you have that triangle, the upside down triangle you can see there on the screen, excuse me, the persecutor persecutes the victim. Now, I'm going to use a simple example, and everybody knows this example because it's published worldwide. Let's look at at abuse. So let's say the man is a persecutor and the woman is a victim, and he's aggressive and he maybe drinks too much or is on some kind of drugs or something. And when he does that, when he can't get that, he takes it out on the wife or the children or both. So he becomes a persecutor, not because he wants to, but that's, this is what happens. She becomes a victim. Now, we all know of somebody or people that have been in bad relationships and they stay. Why do they stay? Because love and connection also means to some people, well, I'd rather have that connection, but at least somebody cares. It's a little bit screwed up because they say, you know, how can you say you want to be with someone who hits you? Oh, it's because he loves me. Well, if he hits you, I don't think he loves you. Oh, no, he does. He does. He loves me. But then you get to the point where she's so beaten up and her children are being beaten. So she reaches out to somebody who's going to rescue her. So she goes to the rescuer, is some shelter of some description perhaps, and she heals over time. She's been there a week or two, children with her, and they've taken care of her and the children, and she's starting to get back on her feet again. The bruises are disappearing. And he's on the phone to her, and he keeps telling her that it doesn't, he's really sorry, he won't do that again. That he's, and she says, yeah, but you told me that before. And he says, yeah, I know, but I really miss you this time. I'm so sorry you've left. I want to have you back again. I miss the children. I want to be with you. And he convinces her. So she goes to the rescuer and she tells the rescuer that she's going home. And they say, well, what do you mean you're going home? I'm going back to my husband. Okay, so they asked the question, have you been through this before? Has he made you promises before? Yes, yeah, he has, but I know this time he's sincere. He believes it, and I believe him. And why are you arguing with me? This is my husband. This is my life. So what happens is the victim becomes the persecutor. And they start persecuting the rescuer because the rescuer is trying to stop her from going back to an abusive relationship. So she becomes the persecutor. She persecutes the rescuer. And who becomes, she becomes the person, she's the persecutor. The rescuer becomes the victim. And the persecutor, of course, becomes the rescuer. And it's a vicious circle of life. It's called the drama triangle. We've all been there. Maybe not in abuse, like I've just described as my example, but some kind of a drama. Whenever we need to create drama, we create drama. So something to be very aware of. And this is covered also in the some of this information here that I've given you. So all right. So here we're talking now about the love languages. We're talking about the cycle of relationships. So I want to share with you now some interesting insights on relationships based on the cycle, the relationship cycle, the masculine and the feminine energy, and creating our ideal relationship. So for women, we want to feel loved. We want to be understood. If you understand your woman, she'll be happy. She'll feel loved. And if you're sharing this webinar with your partner, and Dennis, you're there, I want you to listen up. Don't ever say to your lady, I don't understand you. Instead, say, I really want to understand you. I really want to understand you, not I don't understand you. Nothing more frustrating for a woman if she's not understood. Oh, wow, I get that. Or whatever is the language that you would use with each other. For a man to feel loved, they must be appreciated. Like, how difficult is it to appreciate your husband when he takes out the garbage? It's a simple, simple thing in life. But we expect the man to take out the rubbish. But when he does, do we appreciate that? We should. My husband takes out the bins every week. So what a man really needs, what he needs to hear, is that I really appreciate you doing that. I really appreciate that. I'm also going to share with you some real gold. One of the things you want to understand more and be aware of is that women, you might laugh at this, Dennis, constantly test their man. I'm sure you'll agree with that. We women, ladies, are constantly testing our partner. And this is absolutely okay. In fact, it's critical. And guys, there's no point in you getting upset about it or giving your opinion about it or not agreeing with it or wishing it wasn't so, wishing it would stop. It is the rest of your life. Test it. This is really biological. Now, it's not something that we're consciously doing. It's not something that we're planning. But generally, it's a totally unconscious thing in our mind. We don't even think about it. And we test our man because if he passed the test now, I know that I'll be able to trust him. When I need him to save me, this is purely biological, guys. It comes back from the very early days of man. It goes right back to the days when we needed them to protect us with their clubs and their swords. There's no fighting it. Just accept that it is just as it is. And I'll share with you some more on this if you're up for it. We test our men And if your partner fails the test, how do you feel? How do you feel as a woman? Betrayed? Let down? Vulnerable? Unprotected? And it's interpreted as anger or rejection. But it's really us saying you didn't pass the test. It's as simple as that. Now, would you like to know some more on how men pass a test? Would that be useful?
Yep.
Great. Let's start with relationship cycle. I'm going to start in winter because winter is the time for completion and reflection. What's next for us? It's a time for cleansing and celebration on all the past, moving on with a partner. You're creating the dream. Where do you see the relationship in the future? Do you have passion and expectation? If you're not happy with your identity, if sexual energy has stopped, particularly for your man, how is he behaving? Perhaps there's some confusion. Perhaps you're thinking, all I am is a housewife and a mother. I don't feel like a woman anymore. So what you want is to move into the spring once again. Bring reignited or renewed love. Get some new strategies for and from each other. Show how much you love each other and are attracted to each other. Talk about your feelings and think holistically. Do you want to go back to the past or move forward with great new love strategies? In particular, the touch and the quality time together. Decide if you want to reignite the passion moving forward. It needs to be a conscious thought. And when you get to spring, you'll begin to notice that you're actually appearing younger and more playful. Well, how does that even work? Well, the first few months in the season, all these things are happening. So you've got all these incredible amounts of significance and love and connection, and you've got growth and variety. So what you'll begin to notice is that all these core needs are happening, and it's important that as a couple, you're finding these new things together. And the magic is in knowing that we all go through these seasons in our relationships. When you become aware, you can effectively plan for upcoming season. The summer, for example, is where we get routines. We work together and we talk about getting routines happening in our relationship and our roles in the relationship. They are defined. And what you want to make sure of is that it's not the old roles being defined, but fresh new roles that make you feel good, make you feel like you've evolved into another level, and that your relationship is so much better at each level than ever before. In the summer, you're defining roles and getting into routines. It's where you are creating certainty and stability in the relationship, and you can feel at peace. So the seasons, the relationship cycle is about clearing shadows and blind spots and letting go of old baggage. You don't need old baggage. The real work, however, is done when we move into the spring. So in the spring, we're going to be at Wamberal Beach in our spring wellness retreat in November. And you'll have the opportunity to work through clearing baggage. I'll be doing interventions with my people there at the retreat as an individual, and later if you choose it as a couple. You'll be learning different strategies to overcome any feeling of overwhelm or procrastination. or fear, or whatever the issues are for you as individuals and as a couple. So supporting each other is really important. You want to nurture each other. My goal for you is to share insights so that you can find new ways of seeing things and giving you the driver's manual to your mind, the GPS, if you like, of your relationship, tools that you can apply immediately in both your personal life and to the relationships and also with people in your business, your career. The ultimate goal in relationship is about love, giving focus and giving your attention to each other. It's two people coming together to give birth in the autumn to something else. Autumn is where we set the goals and we create the vision of the long-term relationship. So what is it that you want to give birth to? Is it children? Is it pets? Business? Perhaps you're going to do some renovations of the home. Maybe you'll decide to go traveling together on a holiday. Or you might want to work with a charitable organization doing volunteer work. Or maybe it's being part of making a difference to others that are less fortunate than you. In the autumn, it's important that you find something outside of yourselves. This is where you find a deeper sense of purpose in your life and in your relationship. So autumn is a time for birthing and reaping. If this birthing and reaping doesn't happen, then you're going to find that you go back to the old place. Relationship quality will drop and may begin to die. So autumn is a very important season. It's where, as a couple, you feel like, wow, there is real purpose for us to come together here. My life is better with you now than it has ever been before. And I'm thrilled with what we've created together. So the seasons continue in every relationship, every 7 plus or minus years. We need to be doing new things over that, in that time frame. So going back to summer, what you'll notice is there's been a lot of positive change in your life. And that each time you take stock of where you are at now, you see that you're at a whole new level, the next level. And there's an incredible amount of excitement happening here in the summertime. So I want you to imagine this. See a young couple, any couple, who are very much in love. They quickly may find they go into summer and have children. Or an alternative joint venture, or whatever it might be. Maybe it's travel. And in their late 40s or 50s, the children begin to show signs they want to be more independent. Maybe they want to move on. And so this couple now have moved into the spring again of their relationship. They're creating a life after the children. And it's a really exciting time. So what you want is to be going through each season, understanding what you can expect in the next. Create the vision, share your goals and values, and enjoy your time together, no matter what the season. You want to be in winter with no discontent. Instead, enjoy a winter asking yourself, what else can I learn? What do I need to stop doing? And what will move us to the next level? So that's pretty much about all about the seasons. I want to now talk about masculine and feminine energy. And again, this is not male, female. It's masculine and feminine energy. So the masculine energy is where we have the power, decisiveness, strength. We're very literal in our conversations. We do problem solving. We're the provider. We're the warrior, the leader. We focus attention. We have growing in knowledge, and loyalty keeps them safe and it embeds trust. It's the builder projection. That's the masculine energy, male or female. It's the masculine energy. The feminine energy is love, intuition, caring, nurturing, wisdom, creative imagination. It's inferential. We just infer things rather than be literal. We're compassionate, networker, a peacemaker, humanitarian, and a creator. Now, when you look at certainty, we're looking for security and safety, knowing the finances are taken care of, knowing they can trust each other. With variety, couples can get quite bored together if they're not aware of these six core needs. The relationship becomes stale. We need to keep growing. We need to develop and flourish. And you've heard the expression that variety is the spice of life. Well, it is. Doing different things together, different interests. And as we get older, it's so important for our brain to be growing and to be experiencing new things, because the neural pathways absolutely love the growth. So go out and get some variety in your life together. Significance. It's important to feel significant. How does the other feel significant? How significant does the wife feel to the husband? And how significant does the husband feel to his wife? This is so important that each person feels they are the significant other in their life, in their relationship. On a scale of 1 to 10, significance should never drop below 8, ever. You need to feel significance and give significance. So love and connection, we also need to be at least an 8, 9, or 10 in a relationship. What needs to happen for you to feel completely connected and loved by your partner? So here is where you make sure the love strategies, they're visual. Use words of love, touch. Really focus on those love strategies. Make sure they're being met on a consistent basis, daily in your relationship. Growth. Learning and growth must be at least a 7 in your life and in your relationship. You're growing together. You're learning together. And that's bringing the relationship to the next level. Contribution, it's a feeling of giving back, making the difference in one and the other live. Again, it needs to be around about a 7 to 10. So the core needs are vital in a relationship to be successful. And when a couple really understands the six core needs of their partner as well as the self, they know the rules of engagement. What needs to happen to meet those needs? When you know it, you begin to have a deeper understanding. For example, if one of you has certainty and love and connection, while the other has significance and growth, you may not realize until you understand the core needs that you have different core needs. But now you understand it, and you can understand that your partner needs a certain sense of certainty. That there are certain things that need to happen that each person can be fulfilled. And you must educate yourself and each other on your core needs. If you want a great relationship, understand the core needs of your partner. Now, when you finally look at the book by Gary Chapman, The Five Love Languages, it's really, really, it's an amazing book. Okay. It's only very small, but it's amazing. It changes lives. It really does change lives. So you understand the love language of the other person in your life. So, excuse me. I was talking about masculine and feminine energy. So let me give you some examples of what that looks like. In the beginning, man would be the one to go out hunting to provide for his family, and the woman would be the one to stay at home, keeping the peace, bearing and nurturing the children. So the man would protect the tribe as a warrior. And a woman, well, she was a gatherer. And this instinctually hasn't changed since the beginning of time. So we need to understand that in the home and at work, there must be masculine and feminine energy, and one balances the other. So the masculine energy is going out to provide, the one making the decisions, the one being strong. And this masculine energy also is very strong. It has a great charisma and a high sex drive. So when you have that sex drive, whether you're a man or a woman, it's charismatic. It's an energy that people are attracted to and drawn to because it feels safe to be around that energy, that masculine strength and power. So when the man comes home, he drops comfortably into his creative feminine energy. He may potter around the garage. Maybe he works with his tools on or on his car. He might build things. He might also cook at home. But whatever it is for him, this is his creative feminine energy, where he can get into his imagination and create something wonderful or useful, or whatever reason he begins a task. It's really important for all to experience that shift in energy so we can relax in the feminine energy, and we can be the warrior in our masculine energy. We need to feel the balance. We need to go from one to the other. On the flip side, the woman, when she's out with her man, she has that feminine energy where she's relaxed and proud to be with him, feeling sexy, safe, and protected. When she's at home, she's in control of the house, and she adopts the masculine energy because the rules are hers in her home. The home is run by her rule book, and she does all the disciplining of the children or whatever it needs to be disciplined. But she needs her partner to stand by her with the kids. The couple need to come face to face and come to an agreement on the rules. So this would be balance. Take a moment and to picture this scenario. You're out with your friends and you see a couple, and maybe you know him, this guy, from work. And at work, he shows his powerful masculine energy and very much in control. And then you see him at a work function or a Christmas party or a dinner party, and his wife's with him. You now see him in a different light. What you see now is the man who is very quiet and kind of shut down. And his wife has the masculine energy about her, taking over the conversation. And you may think, wow, that's very strange, because he seems like such a man's man, and yet here he is being overpowered by this woman. So that means her masculine energy has transferred from internally at home to externally, and that is a complete mismatch in a relationship. What we want to see is that the man is actually out and about in his social environment, and the woman is in her feminine energy together as a couple. But what we see here is not happening. We know there is power play at home, And the woman being in her masculine energy, that's where she needs to be. So she stayed in that masculine energy from home and took it out to the external environment as well. And the most likely scenario is because she's no longer trusting her man to keep her safe. She's no longer trusting her man to be able to provide. And so she's taken hold of the reins, or in other words, she's taken hold of his testicles. And he, of course, has given them to her. She treats him like he's a boy rather than a man. And he allows this to happen. So what do we do to balance this out? Let's look at the woman. She's out and about making money in all her masculine energy because these days it's required for a family to have two incomes to pay the bills. So I ask you, when does the woman allow herself to have feminine time? The most common answer is she doesn't, because she's still looking after the home. She's at her home, she's in masculine energy, and at work, she's in masculine energy, and it's not easy to go back, especially if she can't trust her man to take care of them. She's in control and making her rules in her domain. So we have to find experiences for her to break out of that and find some feminine energy. And it might be, some time out with a girlfriend. She could be shopping for clothes or shoes, treating herself to a pedicure or a manicure, a facial perhaps. And she wants that externally. Not at home doing the cooking. She has to externally create more feminine energy in the relationship. And this is why date nights are so important. And when they go out on a date, he's the man. And she's definitely the woman. He pays the bill. He books the restaurant. He takes care of the external experience. He books the weekends away. He makes sure that things are taken care of. She is not doing the romancing. He is. This is key to allowing her feminine energy to come forth. He is the one who takes care of the restaurant, pays the bill, takes everything, books the weekend away, makes sure things are everything's okay. And he is romancing her. So when she's in her feminine energy, that's when she can truly be the woman she was born to be. Because no woman wants to be in that masculine energy all the time. It's not good for relationships. But the woman will adopt that alpha energetic role if she feels that that's the only way that she can feel safe. What you'll find is often the woman ignites that masculine energy. She becomes the alpha. And that might go all the way back to her father or her father figure. Perhaps in that relationship, the mother would have had to have been in her masculine energy in the relationship. So maybe she's modeled her mother, the alpha energy of her mother. Or perhaps there's been some sort of abuse, so she doesn't actually trust men. That being the case, she'll take on that masculine energy, that power, to keep herself safe. On the flip side, why would the man give the power to the woman? Well, take a look at this. Look at the home history between he and his domineering mother, and his father may be weak. So he actually only learned how to maintain being a boy. Or perhaps his father was very strict and domineering. His father was never openly proud of him, never showed him any kind of love. So he has never really become the man. Instead, He's always remained that boy trying to win the recognition and affection of the dominant parent that never comes his way. In this scenario, the matriarchal energy of the overpowering feminine energy, where the boy becomes, so where she treats the man like the boy. Awareness is 95% of the journey. And this is where you need to become the king and the queen. That's the energy you want. Where he rises as a king and takes care of his kingdom and his queen. And she really is the queen. She must be the queen. The powerful energy where she feels safe, she can take care of the home, of course. But she's also worshipped and adored by her man. And in doing that, she worships and adores him too. And the balance is happening in the most beautiful way. So the ideal relationship, the archetypes, we have masculine energy model. And that energy model you can see on the screen. The warrior. How does he become the warrior archetype? Before he can be the king, he has to prove himself as a warrior. A warrior fights not with his hands, but he has clear boundaries. He stands up for self, he follows through, and he has a definite power about him. Don't mess with me. So if the man has never had the opportunity to show his warrior, then he is likely to still have the boy energy, too soft. So he needs to develop that warrior archetype. How? Well, through activities, maybe martial arts or some or sports or on the battlefield, wherever you can find it. But that's where he needs to be, on the battlefield, to develop his warrior type. Then we have the lover. He's very much being the Casanova, Romeo, the wolf, the romantic, and enjoying being the chaser. The man needs to chase the woman, getting excited about going into the bedroom. Be the chaser. Also the provider. He needs to be able to go out and bring home the bacon, be good with finances, and be trusted that he can hold the job down. It's so very important that that certainty is there. The feminine archetype model then is the peacemaker. She's able to maintain a balance in her home, be intuitive, networking, knowing what it takes to make other people happy in the home. She's also the lover, femme fatale, the seductress, sensual, sex goddess. Develop this in the feminine archetype. You need to be that. Be the seductress. He chases, but you seduce. The nurturer, the parent, the caregiver, the mother. Be that healer and guide the children and the family. So the ideal relationship model, we want to be able to model best friends. You want to be married to your best friend. You want a long-term relationship with your best friend, that significant other in your life. You want to parent something. You want to parent something together, whether it's with children or a business or landscaping or renovations or holiday, whatever it might be. You're going to need to parent something together outside of self. And lovers, you must still be lovers, still kissing, still intimate, and having that awesome sex. Still be romantic. So you could embrace the goal of working on these three components in your relationship. How can we create it on a daily basis? through being your best friend, being with your best friend, parenting something together, and reigniting or creating the eroticism in your sex life. You know, I hear people say often, you know, sex is not everything. Well, you know what? No, it's not. But without a good sex life, your marriage, your relationship will deteriorate. And next thing you know, the couples are going elsewhere to find it because it is a human need. So every day you'll be nurturing something. When you get this happening, you'll have a beautiful, ideal relationship and have balance and power. So all of this will be unpacked more over the next two webinars in September and October and leading into the retreat in November at Wombril. So here on the screen, you can see very briefly, the best friends are made up of trust, creativity, and fun and play. The lovers, there needs to be sex. There needs to be intimacy, and there needs to be romance. And the parent archetypes, there needs to be love and protection and nurturing. More on that coming up in the next sessions. So I've got a couple of videos here that I think I believe will be good for you to watch. So we're finished early, which is great. And I wanted to finish early because if you have any questions, we all want to be able to cover it. But I want you to show you this video from Pink. And I don't know if you've seen or you like Pink very much at all, but this video is an amazing video and I think it's worth watching. So I just want you to listen, sit back and listen to this and enjoy it. And if you have any other kind of questions after that, we will pick it up there. But just turn the sound up if you like, and just have a listen. Okay, let's have a bit of a chat for a moment. How excuse me. I'm sorry. If you can't find the sound there on that one, I'm sorry it didn't come through for you. But you can I'll put the link in there again so that you can see it again. I did send the link to you before, but I'll just put it in here again. And you can copy that and paste it into your browser and look at it again later on. But it's a great, but you get the idea. I guess you get the idea of what this was about. She's the really very much that seductress. Okay. She's a femme fatale. So can you see yourself doing that or not? Maybe not to that extreme. That's okay too. But whatever it is, you need to find that. And in order for the woman to find that, she needs to be taken care of by the man. So, if you got any comments that you want to make, or you got anything you wanted to ask in regard to that particular video and how, although you didn't have the music, you certainly had the visual. So, if there's anything there that you wanted to chat about, I'm here for you also.
I don't necessarily. I feel
Okay.
like I'd need to take a bit of work beforehand to get myself into that mindset. But I'd certainly invite it in a bit more. But yeah, I probably have to work on dialing down a bit of my masculinity before I jump into
Definitely,
that. Yeah.
yeah. And I don't know what time you came in, Jess, but
Yeah, sorry, I was late, little one. Trying to get little one into bed.
that's okay, no problem. I'll send it to you again. I'll send it to you the video again, whenever it's when it's
Yeah.
complete. But the other one I want you guys to look at also is J-Lo. Now, Jess, could you hear the music, or is it just
No, I couldn't hear the music. I
okay?
was like, I need to look this up later when I can hear
All right, well, here's the one from J-Lo. And this is also, I'll just pray a little bit. Just J-Lo for me is she is absolutely, she knows exactly what she wants, and she just goes for it. Like, and she's very feminine, very, very she seduces everybody. Okay. So just very, very briefly, I don't know why it's not coming through. If the voice is coming through, why isn't that coming through? I just don't understand. Anyway, just to show you the first bits and pieces of
Perhaps. Oh,
you can hear that.
Okay.
Turn around. It's none of my business. But now we're figured out. Let's get this done. Yes. In the world's most beautiful woman. Not in the hue here, yes. Playboy to the death, yes. Is you really worldwide, yes. Feel me open your treasure chest. Play dates, we play mates. I'm a queen, snatch queen. Checkmate, what you think? It's a rumor, I'm out of this world. I'm really comfortable. Tony Bloomer, I can't even show the luck of this story. But I tell them hallelujah, have a blessed day. So I'm ahead of myself every day's yesterday. When the rest of it was real simple, a little bit of hope is your open sesame.
Okay, so there's another lady, of course, who is absolutely in control of who she is and what she wants out of that. So sorry that you got no sound again there, Nila, but if you can just copy those links and put them into your browser, you can watch those videos at home. So that's really pretty much all I wanted to give you from today, but I did want to have some time where, you know, you might have some questions about anything that we have covered in the session. If you have, now is the time to answer ask those questions. Also, I want you to think about these questions that I have here for you. How long has there been challenges in your relationship? Think about that. And what are you willing to do to improve your relationship? What do you want from the future? Where do you want to be? What's the cost if you don't change this? If you weren't scared, what would you do? How would your life improve once you've made the changes you desire? And think about the gain. They're the questions you should be asking yourself moving forward. What are you both willing to do? It can't be a one-way street. One-way street doesn't work. In a relationship, there's two people at least. So talk about it with your partner, if they're willing, and I hope they are. Because, and anything that I have covered this evening, or anything that you feel uncomfortable about, and no, if you mentioned before, Jess, that you're not quite there, and you're a lot in your masculine energy with the pink. Now, the pink one is very very seductive. Okay, she's done an amazing job, and JLo is also very her libido is quite high as well. And that may not be you, but a little bit of that. Start with a little bit. And the only way to do that is for you to come out of your masculine energy and into your feminine energy. And if you have fear about doing that, you need to know that entering that cave is where the treasure is.
Yeah, that makes sense. I don't think I've got fear around it. Yeah, I just kind of need to make the decision to do it and be conscious of doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay. So that's pretty much it, guys, from me. Next month, on the 7th of September, we're going to be talking about clearing shadows. I'll be doing a little bit more of the relationship and then how to clear out things that, you know, that are stuck in our minds, and so that we're able to really, you know, cut through all of the mess, all of the junk, and come out the other side. It's really important that we can do that. So I'm just going to stop the share. All right. So I might turn off the recording. So I'm just going to turn that off so that if anybody wants to speak openly, you can. Let me just do that now.